What up?
I'm trying to figure out a title. Okay, so Mind on Our Money is one possibility. Rule 3 is another possibility. How about Give Me Some 20th Anniversary?
I don't know. Title will come to us.
Well, you remember what happened with 196.
Oh, there was water in that glass. Shit.
Well, so how's a watered down 20th anniversary taste?
Tastes like a watered down 20th anniversary. Tastes like a watered down Belgian ale.
Okay. Any other possible title names? Well, I'll give these two to you, and you can figure out what you want. There's a listing. I'll send you a thing when I get home of the...
All right. So, now let's figure out how to raise children now that we've had some...
Oh, babies. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, clearly, I think that the answer to your question is definitely in treats of some kind.
Just throw... little treats at them
every sugar
time
tabs
every time they're good,
yeah, Smarties or something, right? I mean, you could do something like that
and their teeth fall out, and
as long as you wash them, you know, wash them, as long as you brush them,
open your mouth and let's squirt it out. Good dog.
Okay, no, there must be a way, right? I mean, there must be a way to give them a kind of encouragement without introducing a negative element.
You don't know how much they fight.
I believe...
You don't know how much kids fight.
I know how much they fight. Come on.
You don't experience how much kids fight.
Yeah, okay. I don't experience it all
the
time.
You don't appreciate it.
But I also understand that when kids fight, they don't see it as fighting. It's not like... adults fighting, or even it's not like teenagers fighting, where they're actually affected by it. It's just something they do, and then they don't even seem to care later that they fought.
You're right. You're right. But it drives the parents crazy.
It drives the parents nuts, but I think that part of the deal is parents have to recognize how little an effect it has on kids.
Yeah, you're probably right about that part. That's a very very good point. So it's very selfish, this whole conversation where I'm just trying to keep my sanity.
Yeah.
Get out of here, Wax. I don't want to play with you. Stopped at Great Lakes on the way up instead of Fatheads for our traditional lunch at the Kellys, and got a little tour of the place to see how they've changed in 10 years. They have installed some new fermenters just recently. They were brewing Christmas ale when I walked through the brew house.
Yeah, you mentioned that. You said, on your tweet, you said, I wish you could smell that. And I wish I could have smelled that too.
It was pretty...
It was like when we were in Denver at Great Divide. I wish everyone could have smelled that. Because even though, I don't know what they were brewing, but it smelled like malty goodness just in that place. That was great.
Yeah, they were... Like, I walked in the brew house and the one of the social media... Like, I just tweeted... To Great Lakes saying, hey, I'm here. If anyone wants to show me around, that'd be cool. And she came down, gave me a five, you know, a nickel tour, nothing too involved. But right. It was nice to see, because the last time I had been through the brewery was 10 years ago. And it's very cool. And we're brewing Christmas ale, which is, for people that don't have Great Lakes Christmas ale, it's a hugely spiced...
Yes.
Christmas ale. It smells like a potpourri. And actually, you would think that the brew house might be a little bit overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. Well, it was late in the brew. They were done brewing. It was still wafting. So maybe during the brew it was overwhelming. But when I walked in, it was like, that smells pretty good. And
yeah, they weren't brewing at Great Divide when we were there. It was cleaned up.
Right.
But the wafting of the malts was still around. So
right.
That was what caught my attention.
Yep.
I don't know. Same sort of situation.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else to say about Great Lakes. I did have some Moonwalk, their Belgian IPA. It's pretty good. They had a milk stout on Nitro, but it wasn't on the menu where we were sitting, so we didn't get the order.
I think I may have seen that at the bar. It wasn't Nitro, but I think I saw something. It was Great Lakes. It was something that I hadn't seen before. I think it may have been a milk stout. What was it called?
It was just milk stout. I'm pretty sure that was a pub only one.
Okay, so it was some Great Lakes I hadn't seen, but I saw the mayor and I was like, all right, I'm getting that, because how often do you get a Saison on tap?
Moonwalk might have been on. Moonwalker, I think. Or Spacewalker. Is that what you saw? Because it just hit the market.
It's possible. Yeah, it was not one I had seen before. Yeah. And, yeah, but I saw that Lagunitas, and I was like, well, yeah, I'll go for the Lagunitas and see what the heck that is.
Right.
And it's apparent right away what it was. So, but it was also, I appreciate it. And the Lagunitas, you know, it was a Lagunitas beer. And you say, as long as you understand what you're going to get, I think that you're going to enjoy that sort of beer. It was not super bitter. It was just really danky hoppy.
Right.
It worked. I think it worked. Although, did it have to be black? No, probably not.
Everyone loves the black IPA. Yeah. So I went to Cedar Point yesterday when we were leaving Kelly's Island, and thought it would be a great trip because when we went to Disney, Ellie loved all the roller coasters she rode. Loved them, loved them, loved them. We rode Thunder Mountain Railroad like 3 times in a row.
Right.
And so I went to Cedar Point, and the first ride we rode was the Blue Streak. And I figured it was a tame coaster. It's kind of easier into it, but I forgot how rough it was, right? Mm. So all the jumping around, you got off, she's like, it gave me a headache, you know? And so we rode a couple spinning rides. We rode Calypso. Maybe just on the road, rode the one spinny ride. Rode the Iron Dragon next, which I knew was a nice tame coaster. It's a car that hangs under the track.
Mm.
And it's for a thrill-seeking adult, it's kind of laid back compared to the other coasters there. But she enjoyed that one a lot. And actually, it was a little higher speed than I remember. So I must have ridden it like after a high-speed coaster the last time, because it seemed lame the last time I rode it, and this time I rode it, you know, and it seemed like it was decent. So I'm like, okay, she's ready for the big time. So we got in line for the Millennium Force. Oh, the lines at the park yesterday were insanely short.
It was Friday. No one's going to the park on a Friday.
Summertime.
It's a Friday. It's a business day. No one's going to the park.
Business days are busy at those parks in the summer. They are.
Okay, I mean, I remember going in the summer to Cedar Point on a Tuesday, and it was fine.
Okay.
I mean,
I spent probably 45 minutes in line for Millennium Force. I walked.
I did not spend that long in any.
Last time I was at Cedar Point, I spent 2.5 hours.
Well, if you go there on the weekend, it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah. So, but yeah, the lines are great. We were going to dinner, and rock past the Raptor, and the Raptor's like less than 15 minutes.
Mm.
I got on the front seat of the Raptor in probably like 8 minutes. That's insane.
The best days to go to a park, really, though, are A, weekdays, particularly in the middle of the week, and B, days that are not sunny. So if it's just, you know, if it's kind of a not really great day, but it's not raining constantly, mm-hmm. you're going to have a fun day at the park.
Yeah.
If it's just like an overcast day. Yeah, I mean,
this is the best day I've had at any park. The lines were so short. We walked right onto Magnum. No wait at all. Basically, the next train we got on. So I took Allison on Millennium Force. That was a little...
Millennium Force!
Have you been on it?
No, it just sounds cool. Okay.
It
sounds sci-fi. That's what it sounds like.
It's the best coaster I've ever been on by far.
Really?
It's awesome. And I haven't been all over the world riding coasters, but I mean, when it came out, you know, it was known as the best coaster in the world. It's 390 some feet tall, has an 80 degree drop.
Ooh.
It has, it doesn't go inverted, but it has overbanked turns, corners, right? So it just has the lap bar, no shoulder straps. Have you been on the Phantom's Revenge?
Yes.
So I haven't been to Kennywood since it was still the Steel Phantom.
Mm-hmm.
But they redid it. They took out the inversions. They put in the lap bar. They copied what Magnum was doing, right? What Millennium Force was doing. So it's like that, right? It's a more open car now. The track's, I think it's over a mile long.
Hmm.
It's an awesome ride. But that drop, that first drop being, you know, 20 stories almost straight down, you know, it's insane. And, you know, it's been a few years since I've ridden it. I've probably ridden it 5 or 6 times now. And it was just like the first time. It was so good. It was cool. Like, oh, it's smooth. It's fast. It's an awesome coaster. You need, so there, the one other thing that bummed me out, that scared her. It was too fast, too much. Right. So she really wasn't up for, oh, and I forgot to tell her to sit back. So she was leaning forward. So some of the bumps and stuff, it said it hurt her back and she was like holding her rib. I think she was up against the lap bar and kind of got bumped and hurt her. So we didn't ride any coasters for a while after that, but she really loved all the spinny rides, you know, the
those make me sick.
Matterhorn. Well, not the disgusting spinning rides. I couldn't find any really disgusting ones. Like, I remember Kennywood, there was one called the Wipeout, and it was just designed to give you nausea.
Yeah.
All the ones that we rode were reasonable. She liked those. And then after a while, I took her on the Corkscrew. I didn't tell her it had inversions. And she didn't mind the inversions. She thought they were cool. That's a rough ride. It's an old steel roller coaster. Mm-hmm. And they weren't able to engineer the jostling out of it. And so that gave her a headache. And gave me a headache, right? It was a rough ride. I'm like, ah. And we didn't ride any other coasters until we were leaving the park. We walked on the Magnum. And again, too big, too fast. You know, it was dark at that point. So that scared her.
And, oh, I love it when it's dark. Doing,
yeah.
The park dark is the
she
best.
She liked Space Mountain, right? It's a wild mouse in the dark, right? Mm-hmm. You know, she loved it. But maybe it's the speed. Maybe she doesn't like the speed.
Space Mountain's indoors too, so it doesn't,
yeah.
Well, it doesn't feel maybe as threatening or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I thought all the surprise turns would freak her out, but she loved them. But, you know, the speed of the Magnum and the Millennium Force. There was two coasters at there that I wanted to ride that I have never ridden, which was the Maverick and the Gatekeeper. Didn't get to ride those. So that's really, I'm like, there's a day that I'm there. The lines are so short, but you don't have to be a parent first and a roller coaster rider second, right? So I'm not regretting it, you know, spending the money, but it's like, oh, I wish I could have got on those two coasters.
There's always the future.
There is. Not like they're going to be going away anytime soon.
My sister asked me, it's very funny that you were talking about roller coasters, because we actually, you know, you were talking about that as I came in, and my sister sent me a message saying, do I roller coasters? And I was like, yeah, I do. So she said that she wants me to go to Hershey Park next June. Ava needs a roller coaster partner. I guess she and Dan don't do that. So I was like, you know, it sounds like fun. End of June. I mean, I don't know, because we'll see what happens.
There's that. I mean, have you ridden much lately? Me with, you know, as I...
Yeah, the last time
I was, can't tolerate. I don't like the jerks as much, and I know you have some back issues.
Yeah, I was at Kennywood about a year ago, and I was okay. I was fine on the roller coasters, because, you know, it's quick, and you're done. I don't mind them. I don't like spinny things. That makes me sick. But roller coasters I can deal with.
Okay. Yeah, the jerkiness of coasters bugs me now more than it ever has.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, well, we're getting to our 40s. I mean, being jostled around is not nearly as fun as it was when you were a kid, when you're all cartilage.
Yeah. Good point. The Raptors seemed more jerky than I remember. I did pretty good at, like, maintaining, like, okay, here's a left turn, move my head to the right, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so I just put my ear up against the shoulder bars. And then coming into the brake station, first car, it when it hit the brakes, it did this left and right thing, and it ping-ponged my head back and forth.
Yeah.
Oh, it sucked so bad. Like, I almost felt slightly concussed, you know. And I was like, what, really? at the brake station, you give me the headache. Yeah. You know, you motherfuckers.
Did you put pads on there?
Well, the pads are soft, but like we're coming in straight to the brake station, so I let my guard down, right? And when it hit the brakes, it started this little wave of, you know, left, right, you know, lateral motion, right? And my head wasn't locked into place, and I probably banged each shoulder pad, you know, probably hit the shoulder pad 7 times when I hit the brake station. You know, left, right, left, right, left, right, right, left, you know, that kind of thing. And, motherfucker.
Is there anything else? I had that.
We just watched before you came Muppets Most Wanted, another sequel to the Muppets anthology, but you know, this is a sequel to the reboot. And at the beginning, they have this whole song about how it's going to be a sequel, and it's going to be hard not to make it suck. And then, you know, it's a sequel. It's not very good. The songs weren't as good. The plot's not as good.
That reminds me, I just recently watched 22 Jump Street, and the whole basic plot of that movie and the conceit of the movie is that sequels suck. And so they keep, like, the people who are in charge of them keep saying, just do the same thing you did last time. And they always want to break out and do something different. And they're always noticing, wow, they spent a lot more money on these things this time. It's really funny and kind of meta in how they did it. Right. So yeah, I'd recommend that if you're interested in that sort of stuff.
I downloaded 21 Jump Street because of your recommendation. I haven't watched it yet, but I downloaded it. It's on the list of things to get through. And I'll get 22, I guess, now. But yeah, I mean, kids wanted to watch a movie, and I use Couch Potato, and it's kind of a wish list type thing. You put it in there when it's available, it shows up, right? So I like look to see what was available. Hey, Muppets Most Wanted's up. Let's watch that. Hour and a half, perfect timing. It'll be done by 8. And there are some good parts to it, but in
is
general,
is that new Muppet in there? The new
Walter? Yeah, Walter's in it still. It actually, the movie starts with the last scene of the previous movie. So there's a The End fireworks in the sky. That's where the movie starts. And it pans down and they're walking off set and all the extras are leaving, and Scooter is there telling people to fill out their I-9s, and you know, it goes straight into the whole sequel song and stuff. So it was kind of clever how they started the movie. Tina Fey's in it, and Ty Burrell, I think that's his name, the dad from Modern Family.
Yeah, okay.
And Ricky Gervais is in it, and then lots and lots of cameos. Lady Gaga's in it for a second. Tony Bennett's in it. You know, Usher, all kinds of cameos.
It's like Sharknado.
Yeah. They actually have the penguins jumping the shark at the beginning because of the, you know, during the sequel song, the penguins are jumping the shark. The penguins on the Muppets. They're jumping
the shark. I never got into the Muppets. Never was a Muppet fan. The closest I became to being a Muppet fan is being a fan of the TV show Farscape.
Okay.
Where the Jim Henson Company did all the creatures.
Okay.
But no, I never really was a Muppet guy. I mean, while I like meta stuff, and Muppets can be pretty meta, it seems like it never went far enough.
We're a little too young to really watch the Muppet Show.
Yeah.
Right? But I remember watching some of them, you know, kind of at the tail end. And the Muppet movies, yeah, I remember watching many of those, the original ones. So when combination of the reboot and having kids, you know, yeah, I watched The Muppets, which was the reboot with Jason Segel in it, or Jason Segel. Segel, I guess is how you say his name. That was a good plot, you know. They had this whole plot line or subplot line of, you know, there's Walter, who's a Muppet, but his brother is a human.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of talk about, you know, like how they live together, you know, and like how you're either a Muppet or a man, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just part of that universe, right? Where there, some people are humans and some people are Muppets. And they continued that a little bit in Muppets Most Wanted, because they Ricky Gervais and the evil Kermit. What's his name? Constantine.
I don't know about the evil Kermit.
Well, he's the most dangerous frog in the world. He breaks out of a Russian gulag, and that's the main part of. And he impersonates Kermit, right? And frames Kermit, and Kermit goes back to the gulag as Constantine. Anyway,
it sounds like an Ernest Goes to Camp type situation.
Yeah. But they break into this portrait gallery museum, right? And there's human painting, and then Muppet painting, you know, valuable Muppet painting, right. You know, so it was another statement on that whole universe where the Muppets and the humans live together. And it's not like they don't see that some people are made of skin and other people are made of felt, mm-hmm. You know, it's just part of the universe. They see that, they know that.
Well, you know, if we had a felt people, it'd be like, I mean, there'd be conservatives rallying against it and saying, we got to keep the felt people out of our country.
Yeah, so the songs are a lot better in the Muppets reboot. The Muppets instead of Muppets Most Wanted. But I'm done talking about that movie now.
Don't have much else to talk about. I've been busy all week.
So. Guardians of the Galaxy is probably not a movie I should let Max see, right?
No, Max will be fine with it.
You think?
Yeah.
Because he wants to see it.
He'll be fine with it.
Okay.
The opening is sad. But I doubt it'll go over Max's head. The jokes are mostly going to go over Max's head, but you'll enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing terribly, any more violent than any of the stuff that I'm sure Max has already watched, like Star Wars and shit like that. It's a Star Wars. It's a Star Wars movie. Yeah, okay. No, he'll enjoy it. It's.
I was worried about, in the preview, you have, what's the guy's name?
Chris Pratt?
Well, the character.
Star-Lord?
Star-Lord, right. He's cranking up the middle finger.
He does that in the movie.
Right. And, you know, other kinds of rude behavior. I'm more concerned about rude behavior and rude language and Max mimicking that stuff than other things.
There's really. There's a few shits in there. Okay. And he does, and it's not blocked when he does the
right,
thing.
Right.
But it's Star Wars.
Right. Okay.
It is Star Wars. He'll enjoy the hell out of it. He will love it to death. He'll love Groot. He'll love Rocket.
He saw Rocket Raccoon in the store. He wants to buy it. All from that book, right? He got that book, and I never had heard of Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm like, I was going to bring it down. For some reason, I had assumed that these guys were some B or C list Marvel property.
They kind of are.
Well, but I was surprised that you knew of them right away, that kind of thing. I thought they'd be much more obscure.
The reason why I knew them is because I saw the trailer, and you saw the trailer too. Right, the trailer was excellent. The
trailer was excellent. But before you... I mean, if the movie wasn't imminent, would you have known about them? No. Okay.
No.
Because I'm like, I pulled these... Max showed me this book. I'm like, these are lame characters, you know?
I mean, that's what, you know, because Marvel doesn't have rights. The Marvel Studios doesn't have rights like Spider-Man and X-Men because they sold those before they started their actual studios.
Okay.
So they have to bring in some of their, well, they don't have to, but they decided to bring in some of their sort of third stringers or second stringers to, and this movie is, if Max is into Star Wars, Max will love the hell out of this movie.
Okay.
There's nothing terrible, I think. You know, there's no overt sexuality. There's a little flirting at some point, but there's nothing. Anything will go over Max's head.
I'm not too worried about, I mean, maybe hardcore porn I would keep away from, but I'm more worried about him picking up rude behavior. That's what I'm most worried about.
There's a few instances of, you know, like I said, cursing, and they're all kind of, they're, for the most part, they're all Han Solos.
Mm-hmm.
So right. they all have that kind of
right.
Bite to them, I suppose.
Right.
But that's okay. It works in the story. Okay. I mean, it's the reason why the three Star Wars prequels didn't work, or one of the major reasons, besides the fact they were terrible. terribly written and terrible stories and everything else, but they didn't have that character that mm-hmm. was, you know, the wisecracker. And this is, they're all wisecrackers except for one who's a total straight man, and sort of because of that, he becomes a wisecracker. It's, yeah, you'll like it. And he will like it a lot.
Which one plays the straight? Which character is the straight man?
That's Drax the Destroyer.
Okay, that's what I
thought. Yeah. He doesn't understand metaphors. So there's one line where he says, everything goes over his head. And he says, nothing goes over my head. My reflexes are too good.
I was actually trying to describe metaphors to Allie the other day. We're out in the, she liked spending time with me out in the deep part of the lake, you know, like out the swim area, right? And, I don't know, something came up and I, you know, mentioned a metaphor by name. And she's like, what's a metaphor? So I'm like, I started explaining a metaphor to her. But the problem was I had a hard time thinking of one. I still haven't come up with one that she uses or encounters day to day, right? I made up some.
Well, there's a good one in the movie. And I'll spoil a little bit of a joke for you, but there's plenty of jokes. I'm not going to spoil every joke. But there's one where Chris Pratt goes like this, and Batista doesn't understand. Mm-hmm. He says, why would I put my thumb across his neck? He's like, no, you would cut him. So.
Right. Yeah, so like, I since we're, the one that came to mind, right, and one I tried to describe to her was, you know, we're in a lake, there's boats right there, and I see a boat anchor, right? So I tried to describe dragging anchor, you know, to her. And I thought about it. I described it to her, and I told her, let me try to think of a one that's better that you use more often. But I still couldn't come up with one. I still don't have one right now, a metaphor that, you know, that she would have heard or would use.
I'm sure they're there. I'm just trying to, I mean, I guess it is kind of tough because understanding the distinction, I think kids innately get metaphors, but they don't understand the distinction until much later when they learn, you know, the structure of language. Yeah. So
that's a good point.
So yeah, I'm sure there are metaphors that are used, but then understanding,
I'm gonna have to keep an ear out and listen to what she says, and when she says one, you know, say, hey, that's a metaphor. Because you're not literally holding or doing what you said, right? It's an allusion to, like, you know, dragging anchor. I don't know if she got it, but it was pretty good. It's like, you know, you see, if a boat tried to sail off with its anchor down, it wouldn't move very fast. Mm-hmm. It would go slow. And when you say, I'm really dragging anchor today, you feel like that boat.
Let's see. You know, so. She may have heard, probably not, but she may have heard, you know, there's a dark cloud hanging over you, or.
That would be even harder to. Well, no, you could describe it the same way, right? You know, dark clouds are gloomy.
Yeah.
And if you feel gloomy,
it doesn't feel like a bright sun. Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't, you know, I haven't been around Allie to sort of see if she gets many. Explains many metaphors. But I'm sure there are metaphors in.
I like when she asks the questions, though.
Yeah.
What's a metaphor? Or other things. And she's been doing that a fair bit, like asking about things. And I do my best not to water it down, right? I do my best to give her an answer I would give a teenager or an adult, because that's the way I want to talk to my children, right? And because I think that'll foster a more mature rapport. So. Even if I do punish them by taking away their behavior bucks.
Yes, so what a metaphor is, that's $3.
Let's stop asking dumb questions.
I think that's good enough for tonight.
All right.
It's an early end.
Look at that. Yeah, usually it's like an hour and a half early.
Yeah.
We're slackers.
We gotta get ready. Jeff is just off vacation. You know how it is. We just gotta get back into the swing of things.
All right. Talk to y'all very soon.
To y'all.
I guess we'll just save Amazon Anonymous for later.
Yeah.
It's hard when Greg doesn't have a computer.
Yeah, we'll do it next week and I'll just borrow Jeff's.
All right.